Morning, today's Daphne of Rezar, Zayin Gimel. We are in the Mishnah, on the top of Zayin Gimel, Med Aleph. Yain Nesech, Aser, Ve'oser, Bechol Shehu. So the first point of the Mishnah was something that we knew already, that Yain Nesech is Aser, you're prohibited. Prohibiting Yain Nesech both Bishtio Ve'hana. You can't drink Yain Nesech, nor can you get benefit from Yain Nesech. Right now we're talking about the real deal. We're talking about wine that was actually used as part of the service of Vodazara. And so it's given the formal status, the formal title of Yain Nesech, and it's Aser. That first part we knew already. The second part, kind of knew already as well, but the Mishnah over here says it very clearly, and that it's Aser B'chol Shehum. Any amount of Yain Nesech that falls into other wine is going to create Iser, and it doesn't matter what the ratio is going to be. Even trace amount of the Yain Nesech that gets mixed in with preponderance, a large amount of kosher wine, so the entire mixture is going to be Aser. So it's one of the Isurim Mashu. In tomorrow's daf, we're going to be learning in the Mishnah on the top of Ayin Dalet that there are a number of things that are Isurim Mashu. A number of things. Actually, the Mishnah is going to list 10 items, maybe 11 items. We'll talk about that in tomorrow's daf. But in other words, but these are one of the things which is Isurim Mashu. Although, quite frankly, there is a difference between today's Mishnah and tomorrow's daf. We'll talk more about that tomorrow morning. But anyway, in the meantime, however, so it's Oser B'choshu, any amount of it is going to be Oser. Yayin b'yayin, mayim b'mayim b'choshu. If wine falls into wine, or if water falls into water, so again, trace amounts. Water going into water, what are we talking about over here? So Rashi, the only Rashi in the Mishnah. So Rashi says that we're talking about water that was also used as part of Nisuch. Meaning, typically, wine was the one that was libated towards Avodah Zarah. But water could also be libated for Avodah Zarah, I suppose. And so once water is used as Nisuch for Avodah Zarah, so that water also takes on the status of Isser. And presumably it's even Aser Bahana. And so when you have wine mixing in with wine, meaning Aser wine and Heter wine getting mixed with one another, or Aser water and Heter water getting mixed with one another. So Becholshu, so because it's a mixture of Min Bimino, and because of the fact that it is used as part of Avodah Zarah, so therefore it's going to Aser with even trace amounts. Yayin b'mayim, mayim b'yayin. Now what if we cross? What if we mix together wine with water, or water with wine? So then it's Beno Saint Tom. So then the Iser is only going to exist when it gives off taste. Meaning, now we're talking about Min B'Sheino Mino, talking about a mixture of dissimilar tastes with one another, and so only if I can actually taste the Iser, then and only then is it Aser. Now, Zeaklal, the Mishnah here wraps it up, Min B'Mino B'Mashu, V'Shlo B'Mino B'No Saint Tom. If I have a mixture of Min B'Mino, so then when we're talking about wine, and we're talking about water, that was used as part of Nesech, of Avodah Zarah. So then it's going to be Aser, even with trace amounts. However, Vishalo B'mino, if it's Min B'Sheino Mino, so then B'no Saint Tam only gives off a taste. A couple points over here in the Mishnah to make, before we start with the Gemara. Number one, Tosos over here, Yayin B'Yayin, Mayim B'Mayim B'Mashu, Perish Rabbeinu Tam, Dafka Yayin Nesech, Mamish. This idea that wine is only is going to Aser B'Mashu, even with trace amount, that's only if we're talking about mamish yayin nesech. She nitznasech lavodes kochavim hu. David b'mashu aval. Stam yenam b'shishim. So Rabbeinu Tam says that if we're talking about stam yenam just simply means wine that was handled by a goy. Wine that was produced by a goy, but it was not used for the purposes of nesech. So we're not allowed to drink it. Is aser b'shtia? Is it mutar b'hana? So a number of times over the course of this mesechta, we quoted the Ashkenazic Rishonim and the Ramah, who say that Bizman is there, that Stam Yenam is Mutar B'Hana. From the Gemara's perspective, Stam Yenam is Aser B'Shtia and Hana. The Tosos happens to be of the opinion that Stam Yenam is Mutar B'Hana. You're allowed to get benefit from Stam Yenam. And the Ramah rules this way as well. But Tosos says, Rabbeinu Tam says, that this idea that wine is Aser B'Mashu, that's only talking about Mamish Stam Yenam. I'm sorry. It's talking about Yayin Nesech, but it's not talking about Stam Yenam. That is Shitas Rabbeinu Tam. And then if you drop down a little bit further in this very same Tosvos, Vod Omari, it's like the last eight lines of the Tosvos, first words in the line, Vod Omari, Da'afilu im nafshach lomar t'stam yenam b'mashehu. And the Re says, and maybe you don't have to accept Rabbeinu Tam's chiddush, that if we're talking about stam yenam, according to Rabbeinu Tam, there is bittul as long as you have a ratio of shishim, of 1 to 60. Let's say you don't hold like that. Maybe you hold Stam Yenam is going to be the same as Yayin Nesech. That's Oser B'Mashu. Afilu hachi havi Stam Yenam b'zman hazeh b'shishim. So Tosus points out that we could make the argument that nowadays Tam Yainam is going to be Shishim. Why? V'dafka b'mei atanayim v'amarayim shayu b'kiyam ha'ov di kochavim v'tiv avodis kochavim da'ash shaykh anisuch hechmir b'stam yainam li'isur kamo yain esach mamish. Back in the time of the Gemara, the Mishnayos and Bizman HaGemara, where they actually understood what Nesach means and what libating towards Avodah Zarah means. So then, maybe Bizman HaGemara, there's not going to be a difference between Yai Nesach versus Tam Yainam. It's going to be also, it's going to be also B'mashu. However, Hilkach Linyan Bito Kishar Yisurim Dami. Uvata B'shishin Kamar Shar Yisurim. But Bizman HaZeh says the Ri, where nowadays they don't really know what they're doing. No, but they're not really using the wine as part of their Avodah Zarah procedure. So therefore, it's still Aser. It's Aser B'shtia, but it's not Aser B'ana. And in terms of Bittel's concern, it'll be Batu B'shishim Afilu B'zman Hazeh. So really, there are two stages of this Tosfos. One is the Rabbeinu Tam, Shitas Rabbeinu Tam, where even B'zman HaGemara, Stam Yenam, becomes Batu in a ratio of Shishim. And then the Shita of the Ri is that even if you don't accept Rabbeinu Tam's Chiddush, but you can make the argument, but Bizman Hazeh, where the Goyim are not really practicing Avodah Zarah, so there, the Stam Yainam, even though we're not allowed to drink it, but A, it's Mutar B'Hanok, although quite frankly, Tosfos doesn't say this over here, although Tosfos says a number of times throughout the Masechta, it's Mutar B'Hanok, and B, there would be Bittul even if it's Shishim. Okay, so that's point number one in the Mishnah, is that maybe the Mishnah is just limited to Mamash Yai Nesach. Point number two, we talk about where it's Mimbishen Omino, if it's wine and water. So if it's wine and water, so it's Benosin Tam. Meaning, like we've been saying a number of times throughout this Masechta, especially last week of the Daf, where you have dissimilar tastes getting mixed one together, and one is Het and the other is Isser. So the Isser is only going to be a problem if it can taste the Isser. In other words, only if you can actually physically taste the Isser. What ratio are we talking about? So the Gemara that's not true. The Gemara does give the number of Shishim. But generally speaking, when the Gemara discusses Min B'Shein Omino, the Gemara just simply says, the Mishnah just simply says, no Sein Tam. Meaning if it gives off a taste. Meaning, taste is Aser, so if it imparts a taste, then it's going to be Aser. And if it doesn't impart a taste, so then it's going to be Mutter. So we generally, in our minds, assume that it's Shishim, because there is a Gemara that describes it as being Shishim. Because once you get to a ratio of 1 to 60, now we know with certainty that most foods will not be able to impart a taste at a ratio of 1 to 60. Now, of course, there are notable exceptions. If, let's say, for example, you have a spice, the whole point of a spice is that it imparts taste even in small amounts. You take pepper, you put pepper into the cholent, you're going to taste the pepper, even at a ratio of less than 1 to 60. But most foods, however, are not imparting taste at the point of 1 to 60. What about wine and water? Is that ratio of 1 to 60? So you're not going to see it in the daf today, but there is good indication, and this is the halacha, that you don't need such a ratio, a high ratio of 1 to 60, in order to nullify the wine in relationship to water. For wine to water, all you need is a ratio of 1 to 6. Obviously significantly less, but at the point where wine now is at a ratio of 1 part wine to 6 parts water, the wine is so diluted now that basically it's not considered like the wine is imparting taste anymore. It's like a petal in Eretz Yisrael. It's like you can barely taste it. So anyway, okay, that's a couple points in the Mishnah. Kiyasar of Dimi Amar of Yochanan. So here we go now with the Gemara. There are going to be four statements that we're going to be learning today in the name of Rav Yochanan. They're not all these statements are not going to be in agreement with one another. Honestly, the Gemara here is going to be just a little bit confusing, only because you try to put all four statements of Rav Yochanan side by side, and they're not going to be in agreement with one another, and it will make just understanding the daf today a little bit tricky. And it's quite frankly, Rav Yochanan's statements are not going to be in alignment with one another. Meaning, they're just simply they're not all in agreement with one another. And various talmidim, so they're reporting Rav Yochanan and a little bit differently one from another. Okay, so let's start off with the first statement of Rav Yochanan. Okay, there's four coming up. Well, number one. So the first statement by Rav Yochanan represents a tremendous heter, and that's the following. I have in the ground, I have a pit, I have a boar, and it's filled with kosher wine. And then what I'm doing now is I'm taking Yai Nesach and I'm pouring it into the pit, into the heter wine that's in the pit in the ground. Rav Yochanan is reported as saying that even if I did this, afilu kol hayom kula, even if I did this all day. Now, what you get from the impression of the Gemara, when the Gemara says you did this all day, is it doesn't even matter how much Yayin Nesach ends up going into the pit. We have this principle of Rishon Rishon Batal. That basically the way we're going to look at every drop as it's hitting the wine in the pit in the ground is that that wine becomes Batal. And the next drop becomes Batal. And continuously as the stream is coming down, so every bit that comes into contact with the pit in the ground is going to become Batal. And so therefore, even if, in other words, Pshuto Shel Gemara, the simple understanding of Rav Yochanan, is that even if now I end up with more Yayin Nesach than with Yayin Heter, but we have Rishon Rishon Batal. In other words, but because it was introduced incrementally into the pit in the ground, so as a result of that, it becomes Batal with every drop that comes in, and so therefore it's Kulo Heter, it's all Heter. That's the first ruling of Rav Yochanan. Obviously, this represents a tremendous kula. And it's funny, if you think about it, it's like the polar opposite of what we learn in the Mishnah. Meaning, in the Mishnah, what we learn is that when it comes to Yayin Nesach, it becomes Asr even with trace amounts. A drop of Yayin Nesach falling in is going to Asr all the wine. And now we're learning nearly the opposite in this presentation of Rav Yochanan, this first presentation, is that when I'm dripping Yayin Nesach in, every drop becomes Batal. And so therefore, even if I did this all day, the mixture is going to be all mutter. Tanan, why don't we take a look at our Mishnah? Yayin Nesach Asur V'Asur B'Chol Shehu. So, and again, now the Gemara basically notes, how do you understand Rav Yochanan's statement in light of what we learned in our Mishnah? So, my lav de kanafli sur legoi tera, and isn't the Mishnah describing a scenario in where Isser falls into Heter? I may mention this point before, I'll say it again. Generally, whenever we're talking about one item being introduced into another item, the item that's being introduced is the Asur item, and the item that's being introduced into is the Heter item, generally. So if you're reading our Mishnah, seemingly that's exactly what the Mishnah means. That I have Asur wine being introduced into Heter wine, and the Mishnah says, Afilu b'mashehu. Even if a drop falls in, it all becomes Asur. And that's not what Rav Yochanan's saying, and how do you understand that in light of what Rav Yochanan's saying? So the Gemara says, Lo deka nafal heter lo go isur. So the Gemara says, okay, so what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to understand the Mishnah differently. Reverse the scenario in the Mishnah, where the wine in the pit was Asur wine, and the wine that comes in is Heter wine. Okay. Under those circumstances, it's Asur and it's Asur afilo b'mashu. But in other words, but if I flipped it around, where I have the Asur wine coming in, being introduced into the Heter wine, and it's coming in incrementally, so then, Rishon Rishon Batal, Tashma. The Gemara says, okay, let's keep going on in the Mishnah. Yayin b'mayim b'no sein tam. Look, the Mishnah gives the example of wine going into water and it's b'no sein tam. As long as it's imparting a taste, so then it's going to be, when it imparts the taste, it's going to be also up until that point in time, it's going to be mutter. My love, dekan nafal chamer d'yisur lamay de'etera. And again, what's the case of the Mishnah? Ostensibly, the case of the Mishnah is where forbidden wine goes into heter water. And if forbidden wine is going into Heter water, so what are we saying? We're saying that once it reaches the point of Nesinas Tam, once it imparts the taste, it's all going to be Asur. Once again, we turn our attention to Rav Yochanan. You, Rav Yochanan, say, when Isser is introduced incrementally, we have this principle of Rishon Rishon Batal. So it all should become Batal. So the Gemara says, Lo, dekanafel chamer de'eter lamai de'isura. So the Gemara says, once again, we're going to have to flip the case of the Mishnah. The wine was Heter wine, the water was Asur water. So the Gemara says, well, how about if we just keep reading on in the Mishnah? Look at the next case of the Mishnah. Water going into wine is b'no sein tam. So in other words, the Gemara is now assuming that if in the first case we had set up the water as being asur water, so in this case as well, the water is going to be asur water. Asur water going into mutter wine. And if it imparts taste, it's going to be asur. Again, Rav Yochanan, if you subscribe to this principle of Rishon, Rishon, Batal, Kama, Kama, Batal. So then, as it comes in incrementally, it should become Batal, and it should be Mutter. So, Amlecha Ravdimi, Kula Masis, and Heter Legoi Surah. Reshet de Kanafa, Chamer de Heter, Lamai de Isurah. Sefer de Kanafa, Mai de Heter, Lachamer de Isurah. So, the Gemara, to which the Gemara basically says, no, that's not how we're going to understand the Mishnah. In defense of Rav Yochanan, the way we're going to understand the Mishnah is that the Mishnah is always describing a scenario where Heter is going into Isser. When Heter is going into Isser, and it doesn't matter whether the wine is Heter and the water is Isser. The water is Heter, the wine is Isser. It doesn't matter. Meaning, but when the Heter is going into the Isser, So then it's going to be usur. And then there's not going to be any bittul. But if I reverse that, where the isur is going into the heter, so we have, and it's coming in incrementally, so then we're going to have this principle of kama kama bittul. So as it's coming in incrementally, it's going to be bittul. Adkan, that is the first round of Rav Yochanan. We have three more rounds to go. So in the first round of Rav Yochanan, we are being introduced to a tremendous cool, a tremendous leniency, and that is the principle of Rishon Rishon Bato. As we're going to see, and especially when we get to the third and fourth statement of Rav Yochanan, clearly Rav Yochanan, at least in versions number 3 and 4, doesn't subscribe to this principle of Rishon Rishon Bato. So it's really interesting in which you have Amoraim quoting Rav Yochanan, laying out this really like this big heter, this tremendous kula, and other Amoraim simply don't subscribe to it. And all this is b'shem Rav Yochanan. Okay, number 2. Ki asa Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef amar Rav Yochanan. Now, in statement number 2, in the name of Rav Yochanan, it's basically going to be the same point with just a little bit of a limitation. In the second version of Rav Yochanan, we are still going to subscribe to this principle of kama kama bato, but only when the wine that's being poured in is being poured in from a small jug. A small jug with a small spout. Meaning, because again, this principle of Rishon Rishon Bato is that as the wine is being introduced incrementally into the pit, into the wine of the pit, so as each drop comes in, it's going to become bato. But that's only if I'm pouring it in from a small spout. Small spout creating a small stream of wine. So now I know that it's coming in small increments. However, if I'm pouring in from a barrel, and so now we're barrel with a large spout, and a lot of wine is being introduced, so it's not as incremental as it is being poured from a small spout with a small stream. So under those circumstances, we're not going to apply the principle of kama kama bato. And so basically in version number 2 of Rav Yochanan, it's the same point, but just you got to know that it comes in small increments. Now I say small, I say large. Basically something with a small spout versus a large barrel. That's the best I can do in terms of giving some sort of parameter. Statement number 3 of Rav Yochanan. Ki asa Ravin amar Rav Yochanan. So Ravin comes in from Eretz Yisrael, now Ravin's going to be quoting Rav Yochanan. Now this is Gemara true to form, meaning throughout the Gemara we have our frequent flyers of Rav Dimi and Ravin, who are coming back and forth between Eretz Yisrael and Bavel, and as they shuttle in every time, so they're quoting statements that were made by Rav Yochanan, and they're the ones who are sharing, they are the bees, if you will, cross-pollinization between that which is being learnt in Eretz Yisrael and that which is being learnt in Bavel. So very often, as we are learning the Talmud Bavli, so we get this small window into Rav Yochanan through Rav Dimi and Ravin. And, true to form, they usually do not have an agreed version of that which Rav Yochanan says. And here's a wonderful illustration of that, where you have now Ravin giving a different report of that which Rav Yochanan says. He also Ravin Amar Rav Yochanan. So Ravin comes in from Eretz Yisrael, and he says, B'shem Rav Yochanan, Yai Nesach Shenafal Abor, V'nafal Sham Kiton Shomayim. So let's say you have Yain Esach falling into the pit, followed then by Kiton Shemayim, followed then by water. Ron is a heter ki ilo eino, v'hasha'ar maim rabim alav mevat lanoso. So let's, it's a really interesting concept. Just have to follow carefully the correct order of what is in the pit and what fell into the pit. We'll start in the pit, Yain Heter. Well, kosher wine is in the pit. And then, the second thing that's being introduced is Yain Esach, usur wine. So now, and I'll use just nice, easy numbers in terms of volume. So let's say it's 5 liters of kosher wine that's in the pit, 5 liters of usur wine that was poured into it, and then after that, water comes in. Now, the water, if there is enough water, will negate the wine, assuming that there's enough water. But when we're talking about negating the wine, which wine does it need to negate? Does it need to negate the usur wine? That of course is it. Yes, obviously. It has to. In order for the water to be a mevatel, in order for it to nullify, so you need enough water to negate the taste of the usur wine. However, what about the following consideration? Meaning, first in the pit there was kosher wine, followed then by usur wine, followed then by water. So if we could just stop between steps 2 and 3, between the usur wine and the water. So when the usur wine comes into the pit and the ratio was 1 to 1, right? 5 liters of heter wine and 5 liters of usur wine. So now what do I have in the pit? So let's ignore what we learned in statement numbers 1 and 2 of Rav Yochanan. Let's ignore the principle of kama kama bata. And I say let's ignore it because, as I pointed out, In this version of Rav Yochanan, he doesn't subscribe to Kama Kama Bato. So let's ignore the principle of Kama Kama Bato. So what do I have now in this pit? I have, presumably, 10 liters of Aser wine. Why? Because if there's no Bittel, so that means that the entire mixture is Aser. So if the entire mixture is Aser, so then, presumably, I have 10 liters of Aser wine. So now when the water comes in, as the last thing that's going into the pit, how much of wine does it need to negate? Ostensibly, it would need to negate 10 liters of wine. Ostensibly. Huh?
No, 10.
10. So in my examples. So it would need to negate 10 liters of wine. So now, in terms of the amount of water that we need now, we're going to need a significant amount. If I'm right, what I said earlier, and that the ratio of water to wine is 6 to 1, so then I would need 60 to the 10. Okay, so the... But what now Rav Yochanan is introducing in this third version of Rav Yochanan, in the third statement of Rav Yochanan, is a leniency, a really interesting one. Not as radical as the leniency of Kama Kama Batel, where in this version he doesn't subscribe to that, but he subscribes to the following leniency. And that is that when the 5 liters of Aser wine go in, yes, you are not allowed to drink the whole thing. But how many liters of Iser do we have over here? We have 10 liters of wine, but only 5 liters of Iser. Meaning, the Aser wine, although will prevent me from drinking the Heter wine, but at the same time was not converting the Heter wine into Aser wine. Rowan, I'm going to read the words of the Gemara again. Rowan is a Heter ki'ilu eino. We look at the Heter wine as if it's not there. V'hasha'ar mayim rabin alav mevatlan oso. And now what the water can do is simply attack the Aser wine, the Iser wine, in of itself. And if there's enough water to attack just the Aser wine and be mevatel the Aser wine, so then you're good to go. So in other words, in the example that I gave, so when I have 5 liters of Heter, follow them of 5 liters of Heter wine, follow them by 5 liters of Aser wine, follow them by water, how much water needs to come in? So if you subscribe to this version of Yochanan, I don't need 60 liters of water coming in, I only need 30. Because I only need enough water to negate the Aser wine, not the Heter wine. And this is the principle of Rowan. The principle of Rowan says that when I have a mixture of the Heter and Iser, and even if there's no Bittel, and even though I'm not allowed to eat the Heter, but at the same time the Heter still have retained its identity of being Heter. So that in such a scenario where we're describing right now, where I have another liquid coming in, a Mevatel liquid coming in, it only needs to be Mevatel, the Iser, not the Heter. Okay.
They're mixed.
Yeah, agreed. That's why this represents a tremendous kula. Meaning, they're right. This idea of Rowan is a principle. Meaning, you have to spend some time thinking about it. Right? He also Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda amar Rav Yochanan. And here we have the fourth and final statement of Rav Yochanan, and Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda comes in and brings the following. Lo shanu lo shanafu kitun shamayim tchila. Lo shanu lo shanafu kitun shamayim tchila. That's only true when the water comes in first. Aval lo nafu sham kitun shamayim tchila. But if the water is not what falls in first, matza min es min ovenayer. Okay, so in other words, in this version, we're going to say like this. I first have wine and on the bottom of the pit. Then I have water coming in. So then when I have wine and I have water, so then the water is, assuming there's sufficient amount of water, is mevato the wine. And then when the Aser wine comes in at the end, so then we do not say, well, the Aser wine now is going to bond with the Heter wine, creating now an entity of Aser wine, and then the water is going to be overpowered. We're not going to say that. However, here's what we are going to say. If, let's say, I have Heter wine in the bottom of the pit, followed then by Aser wine, so that mixture together now is going to be an entire entity of Aser wine, meaning that because there's no Bittel, so now, again, I'm just going to use the same numbers. I have 5 liters of Heter wine, followed then by 5 liters of Aser wine, so then in this final version of Rav Yochanan, I now have 10 liters of Aser wine, and then when the water comes in, so if there is enough water to negate all 10 liters, great. But if there is not enough water to negate all 10 liters, so then the entire mixture is going to be Aser. Obviously, this version of Rav Yochanan doesn't subscribe to the principle of Rowan that we were introduced to in the third version of Rav Yochanan. In Ravin's version of Rav Yochanan, the only thing you get over here in terms of a Heter is what the Gemara just told us, which is that if I have wine, kosher wine, followed then by water, followed then by usher wine, so in that scenario, if the water already negated the wine in the pit, we're not going to say that the usher wine and the kosher wine are going to mingle, bond, and create a union of a totality of isser wine. That's the only thing we're not going to say. But if the introduction into the pit was first, there was heter wine in the pit, followed then by usser wine, so and the two wines get together, so the two wines together are going to become a chefsa shel isser. The entire thing is going to be usser. Okay. So these are the four versions of Rav Yochanan's presented to us. In versions 1 and 2, so you have the principle of kama kama batel, rishon rishon batel. In version 1, it doesn't matter how it's being poured in, but in other words, as long as the isser is being poured into the heter, with each incremental introduction of the usser wine, it's going to become batel. In the second version, it's the same basic idea, but you must know that it's coming in small increments, meaning it's being poured from a small container, not a large barrel. And in version number 3 and 4, they don't agree that Rav Yochanan subscribes to this principle of kama kama batel, but what they do subscribe to is in version number 3, the principle of roin, that when I have wines mixed together, isser and heter, even though there's no bittel, the heter wine still retains its identity. So that in the event that water comes in, the water only has to negate the usser wine, not the heter wine. And in version number 4, we're not going to say that. In other words, once the two wines get together, so they're bonding together and they're creating a entity of isser, the entire thing is usser. And the only thing we get to say in version number 4 is that if it's wine, water, wine, so if the water is negating the wine, that's it. Meaning story over. And when the usser wine comes in, it doesn't sort of say it doesn't unite with the usser with the heter wine to create a chesed shel isser. Okay. Now ika de masnila amasnisin. Now there are those who learn this statement on the Mishnah, meaning yain b'yain kol shehu, that if I have wine getting mixed up with wine, it is any amount. Amar Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda, amar Rav Yochanan. So now we have the statement of Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda. Lo shana lo shel nafal sham kiton shel mayim. That's only if water didn't come in. Aval nafal sham kiton shel mayim. But if water comes in, ro'nis ha'heter ki'ilo eino v'ashar mayim rabban olav mevat lenoso. So, but if water comes in, so then the water only needs to negate the aser wine, not the heter wine. So my ika ben la demasni la masnisa ben la demasni la adaravin. Now, this statement of Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda, either it qualified Ravin's statement or it qualified the Mishnah. What's the difference? The Gemara says, I'll tell you, the difference is pretty straightforward. Man demasni la masnisa lo bay tchila. Uman demasni la adaravin bay tchila. It's very simple. Meaning that if I'm learning it on the Mishnah is talking about a case where wine gets mixed up with wine. And even though there's no bittel, but when water is then introduced at a later point in time, the water can just simply focus on the usser wine and will look at the kosher wine as if it's not there. And assuming that you have enough water to negate the usser wine, so then you're good. If you're learning the statement of Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda on Ravin's point, so then no. We're only going to say that the water is attacking the isser only when the water comes in first. But if the two wines get mixed together first, those two wines that get mixed together become an entity of isser, an entire entity of isser, and then the water only will create bittul if it negate the two. Okay.
What about sugar? What's the source of roid?
Yeah. All right. Excellent question. I don't have an answer. All right. Good. Where's the source of kama kama bato? Meaning what's, right. These principles that are presented in today's daf with Rabbi Yochanan, so the Gemara does not give sources for them. And so I don't know. That's right now my honest answer. I could try to make things up, but on another occasion. Okay. But I don't know. Itmar. The Gemara, we're on the bottom of Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph, two lines from the bottom. So the Gemara now continues to discuss this matter. Yain Nesek Shenafel Labor. V'nafel Sham Kiton Shamayim. Yain Nesek goes into a pit, followed then by water. Okay, so again, same basic ideas that we've been discussing up until now, but as we're going to see now in the Gemara, we're going to be having a debate between Chizkiya and Rav Yochanan. So, I have heter wine on the bottom, followed then by Yain Nesek falling on top of that, followed then by water coming in on top of that. Amar Chizkiya Higdila Be'Isser Aser, Higdila Be'Heter Mutter. So Chizkiya says, well, it depends. Now, the language of the Gemara are a little bit tricky, right? Higdilo be'iser, it's aser, and higdilo be'eter, muter. The alliteration is fantastic, but it'd be better if we understood it. Okay. So the so if you take a look at Rashi on the top of the Amud, Rashi writes, higdilo hamayim, v'hayayin be'iser. If, let's say, the wine and the water were introduced as iser, meaning, shenafel yayin esek b'sof, v'higdilo. So let's say that the yayin esek falls in at the end, and therefore it increases as a result of the yayin esek falling in, aser. V'lo armina roen esehetar kilo eno. Ela yayin esek mischaber lemino. Ve'in amayim rabin alav. So in other words, what's going to happen is as follows. That if I have, again, the order here is being presented is kosher wine in the pit, followed then by water, followed then by yayin nesach. So, according to Chizkiah, what's going to happen is bonding. The aser, just give me a second. The bonding.
Okay.
Oh, the aser wine is going to bond with the heter wine, and so now that's going to create iser. It's going to produce. Now, it's going to, let me use a better word, convert. It's going to convert the Usser wine into Isser wine. And so now, even though the order was wine, water, wine, doesn't matter according to Chizkiah. When I have the Usser wine coming in, the Usser wine is going to be converting the Heter wine, turning the Heter wine into Isser. V'kol shekinim naflamayim b'sof kedamrin al el. Now, according to Chizkiah, it goes without saying that if it's wine, water, that's a no-brainer. Wine, water, so for sure the usser wine is going to be converting that to wine, and the whole mixture is going to become usser. And then when water comes in, obviously the water is going to have to negate the entire mixture. But according to Chizkiah, here's where the chiddush lies, is that, and I have a mixture of wine, water, even if the water negated the wine, but when I have usser wine coming in, it's chozer v'neir. It reintroduces itself to the kasher wine, bonds the two together, converts the kosher wine into aser wine, and now if there is not enough water to negate the entire mixture of wine, all the wine, so then it's going to be aser. So this is Chizkiah. Rav Yochanan Amar, but Higdilu beheter muter. Higdilu beheter muter, Rashi, Shenafel yayin heter besof, kvar batal yayin esek b'mayim, shamayim rabu alav v'yirsa levado, umizvatal agar meshuv ein chozer v'neir. However, even according to Chizkiah, there is going to be one scenario where he's going to be mekel, and that's the following. The first thing in the pit is yayin nesech. Then water comes in. Enough water to dilute the yayin nesech and to negate the yayin nesech, bittel. Then kosher wine comes in. Here, in such a scenario, if even according to Chizkiah, who's taking the most machmir position, as long as the yayin nesech now has experienced bittel, so we're not going to say chozer v'neir. It's not going to revive and perform tchias hamesim on the aser wine, and the aser wine, once it's nisbato, it's negated. The iser has been negated, and the wine that comes in at the end is not going to revive it and bond together with it. Okay.
Before the aser wine comes in, the original combination of water and wine, is that considered water?
It's considered water. Yeah. In other words,
there's no identity of the wine. That's
correct. Correct.
If you have the nesek wine already there and the water comes in, it has to come with a large amount at the same time. Otherwise, do we have the bitul of that, the water coming in?
No, the Mishnah taught us at the beginning of the daf that as long as it's nesinas tam, as long as you have diluted the wine to the point where you can no longer taste it, so then there's bitul. And that ratio, as I pointed out, the Gemara doesn't say this, but as I pointed out, the ratio is 6-1, meaning normally you need 60-1 to be mevatel taste. By wine, you only need 6-1. So as long as 6 parts water to 1 part wine, so then there's bittel.
6
by wine, it's 6.
Are we talking about the concentrated one that they had to use to dilute? Anyway,
yeah, in other words, back the real stuff they had back in the time of the Gemara. When they were mosaic,
4-1, right?
When they were mosaic 3-1. They were mosaic at a ratio of 3-1. Already at 6-1, it's like you're not, you're just, you know, it's color water. Okay, so Amalei Rav Yirmiyah, continuing now in the Gemara. I'm sorry.
Is that how it comes in?
We talked about that earlier. It's okay. You'll hear the beginning. You're right. No, but it's a version of Rav Yochanan, but one that we're not accepting right now. So Rav Yochanan Amar Afilu Higdilu Be'Isser Mutter, and Rav Yochanan says that even if it comes in Be'Isser, it's going to be Mutter. Meaning, Rav Yochanan, what Chizkiah would not accept Rav Yochanan's ready to accept. Meaning that even when the introduction is heter wine on the bottom, followed then by water, so because now the water negated the heter wine, so when the also wine falls in at the end, but because the heter wine now has already been negated, so we do not say matzah minus mino, that the two wines have found each other, bonded with each other, and the aser wine now is converted to heter wine. We don't say that, but rather once there's bittel, so then there, once the heter wine has been mevutal, so then there's bittel. So amale Rav Yirmiyahu Rebbe Zera lema chizka Rav Yochanan b'plukta de Rav Elazar v'Rabbanan k'miflugi. So the Gemara is going to engage in an exercise that it loves, which is, let's take a machlokas amarayim, and let's see if we can already see this machlokas amarayim within a machlokas atanayim. Now, I say it's an exercise the Gemara loves, the Amoraim don't like it. Meaning the Amoraim do not want to be pigeonholed into one Tana's position against another Tana. Especially if you happen to be pigeonholed into a position that is a Das Yachid. Right? One Tana's position being argued by the Rabbin, being argued by the majority. You obviously don't want that. But here we begin. Amalei Rav Yirmiyahu Rebbe Zera Lema Chizkiv Rav Yochanan B'Plukta de Rav Elazar Rabbanan K'miflugi D'nan. So here we have a Mishnah in Arla, a Mishnah which we've seen not so long ago in this very Masechta, back on Daf Memtes. So Rosh Hashanah v'Shachum v'Shanaf alo Sochayisa, lo b'zeket el ha-chametz v'lo b'zeket el ha-chametz. V'nitzarfa v'chimtzum. So I take a little bit of sourdough. Sourdough coming from Truma, sourdough coming from Chulin. Right? Back in the good old day. So instead of having this, right, this organism of yeast, so they just simply, they did have an organism. They had sourdough, which had wonderful fungi growing on it, and they would throw that into the dough, and that would create the chimus, that would create the leavening agent. As we've learned time and again, when I have a leavening agent, so in halacha we call that a mamid. So in other words, that obviously is what causes the dough to rise, and when something causes something else to exist, so it does. There's no bittul, there's no nullification, and so if it's a davar ha-mamid, if it causes something else to exist, so the whatever the cause agent is, that's what the resulting product is going to be the same thing. So if the sourdough was totally made up of truma, and that sourdough was put into a bat of dough in order to cause it to rise, so the resulting dough is going to be truma. That part's clear. And if the sourdough was chulin, so the resulting dough is going to be chulin. In our case over here, it was chetzi chetzi. It was enough, not enough sourdough of truma, mixed in with not enough sourdough of chulin, but between the forces of the two, there was enough to create the dough to rise. Enough catalyst to create the dough to rise. So in such a situation, what do we say about the resulting dough? Rabbi Elazar Amar Acharon Aniba. So Rabbi Elazar says, well, follow what goes in last. If what goes in last is the truma sourdough, the seorshel truma, so then the whole dough is truma. If the sourdough that comes in last is the chulin, so the whole dough is chulin. That's Shitas Rabbi Eliezer, as we understand it right now. And according to the Chachamim, no. In other words, only when you have sufficient Seor Shel Truma that in of itself can cause the dough to rise, then and only then is the dough considered Truma. But if it's a blended, if it's a blended catalyst, if it's only because I'm mixing the two sourdoughs together of Truma and of Chulin, so under those circumstances, according to the Chachamim, it doesn't matter which one comes in first, which one comes in second, it is going to be Mutter. Now, here's what the Gemara is suggesting, that this machlokas between Chizkia and Rav Yochanan is really nothing more than the machlokas between Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim. Because Rabbi Elazar says it's significant to know which one comes in last. Just like according to Chizkia, it depends what comes in last. Right? Higdila be'isr asr, higdila be'heter mutter. This is what the Gemara is now suggesting, is that the machlokas chizke of Rabbi Yochanan is really the machlokas between Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim, chizke going like Rabbi Eliezer, and Rabbi Yochanan going like the Chachamim. V'tizbra. But the Gemara says, but, we said this back at Memtes, and we're going to say this again in today's daf as well. What we're offering as an alignment, the Gemara says, is not a good alignment. The machlokas tanaim is not parallel to the machlokas tanaim. Why? I just repeat myself. Machlokas Tanaim is not the parallel to the Machlokas Amoraim. Why? V'tizbra. V'hamar abai lo shanu alo shakitim v'silek es iser. Avalokitim v'silek es iser, aser. So, even within the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer, that is only going to be true where you first remove the Seor Shel Truma. But if you did not remove the Seor Shel Truma, so then it's going to be Usur, irregardless of which comes in first versus which comes in last. In other words, according to Rabbi Eliezer, he holds the principle of Zev Zegarin Usur, that when I have two causes, and the two causes both provided the necessary catalyst in order for the item to grow, in this case, Seor Shel Truma, Seor Shel Chulin. But even though there's not enough Seor Shel Truma in order to cause it to grow, but because it was a contributing factor, so therefore this falls under the category of Zev Zegarim. Zev Zegarim, according to Rabbi Eliezer, is Usur. Only under the circumstance where the Seor Shel Truma was first introduced, then it was removed, so basically you do have trace amount of Seor Shel Truma, but it wasn't there as part of the end result, then and only then is Rabbi Eliezer going to be Mekel. But in other words, it is not a parallel scenario. If the Seor Shel Truma was kept there, so then the whole thing is going to be Usur. And if that's true, Chizkiah Damar Kaman. And if that's true, then Chizkiah is holding like who? Meaning, it's a rhetorical question. He's not holding like either position. Elahacha Biron Kemifilgi. So the Gemara says, so basically what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to separate the two debates. Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim are debating the issue of Zev Zegarim, whether Zev Zegarim is Usur or Zev Zegarim is Mutter. Rabbi Eliezer says Zev Zegarim is Usur. The Chachamim say Zev Zegarim is Mutter. And that's it. Meaning, and leave that machlokis aside. Our debate between Chizkiah and Rav Yochanan is just a question of Rowan. Chizkiah Leislei Rowan, Rav Yochanan Islei. Chizkiah does not subscribe to the principle of Rowan, and Rav Yochanan does subscribe to the principle of Rowan. And again, the principle of Rowan is the following, that when I have Isser and Heter getting mixed together, so does the, even though the entire mixture is forbidden for me to eat, does the Heter still retain its identity of Heter? And Rav Yochanan subscribes to this principle of Rowan, and Rav Yochanan says, yes, it does. It retains its identity of Heter. So that means that when the water comes in at the end, the water only needs to negate the Isser, then the water doesn't need to negate the Heter. Because Rav Yochanan subscribes to this principle of Rowan. Masha Einkein, according to Chizkiah, he doesn't subscribe to the principle of Rowan. And because he doesn't subscribe to the principle of Rowan, so that means to say that when the water comes in, the water is going to have to be negating both wines, both the Isser wine and the Heter wine, because what the Isser wine does is it converts the Heter wine to becoming Isser. And so therefore the water has to negate both. Even in the scenario where I have wine, water, wine, but if the second wine that comes in is the Usur wine, so what the Usur wine is going to do is it's going to find the Heter wine, bond with the Heter wine, convert it into Isser, and same idea. In other words, and it's only going to be acceptable if there's enough water to be mevatel both wines. Okay, because Chizkiah does not subscribe to this principle of Rowan. Umi Yisrael Rav Yochanan Rowan. So the Gemara says, now, that's really interesting. So you're telling me that Rav Yochanan does subscribe to the principle of Rowan. So the Gemara says, you know, we asked Rav Yochanan the following question. We have two cups of wine, one made up of chulin, the other made up of truma. And what we ended up doing is we ended up mixing one with the other. And, I'm sorry, first we diluted them. We diluted them at a ratio of three parts water to one part wine, and then we mixed the two up together. So, here's what we did. We now put into each cup water, not enough for bittel, but we put in water, and then we mixed the two together. So now, there is enough water to be mevatel, the truma wine. But that's only if I'm able to ignore the chulin wine. And if we can't, in other words, where even though obviously the wines that get mixed together, there's not they certainly have the same taste. But the question on the table is the truma wine going to be converting the chulin wine into truma or no? Does each one of them still have their separate identity? And can we now say that the water, the totality of the water, is just needed to negate the truma wine? And so this is a question that was posed to Rav Yochanan. And Rav Yochanan didn't give an answer. So Mikarlo Pashalei Levasov Pashalei. So the Gemara says, you're right. Originally, he didn't give an answer. Because, in other words, he was somewhere on the fence on this issue of Rowan. And so originally, when asked the question, he didn't give an answer. But then, at a subsequent point in time in his life, he comes to the conclusion that there is this idea of Rowan. And once you have this idea of Rowan, so that means that when the wines get mixed together, even if there's no Bittul, each wine still retains its separate identity. And so therefore, if there's enough water to counteract the Truma wine, so then there's going to be Bittul. It marnami amr abi ami amr av yochan v'amri la amr avasi amr av yochan beis kosa zechat shalchun vechat shal Truma mazgan, you diluted the cups of wine v'irvan, and then you mixed them zebezeb ro'an is a heter kilo eino v'ashar mayim rabin lo mevat lo so. And here now we have a clear statement made in the name of Rav Yochanan that he does subscribe to this principle of Rowan. Okay, so that ends our first sugya of the day. So basically, what's on the table right now is the idea that wine gets mixed in with wine. It's min bimino. It's also bimashu. That's what we learned in our Mishnah. And as far as qualifying the Mishnah, so we have the first two statements of Rav Yochanan introducing us to the idea of kama kama batel, that when the wine is introduced incrementally, when the aser wine is introduced incrementally into the heter wine, so then it's going to become batel with each incremental drop that comes in. First version, totally unqualified. Second version, small qualification. It has to be poured in from a small spout. Those are the first two statements of Rav Yochanan. And the third and fourth statements of Rav Yochanan, it does not subscribe to kama kama batel, but rather a version of Rowan. The first version, that's Ravin's version, is that he subscribes to this principle of Rowan. And in the fourth statement of Rav Yochanan, a modified version of Rowan, not to this degree. And finally, where the Gemara lands on Rav Yochanan is that Rav Yochanan fully accepts this principle of Rowan, which means that if wines get mixed together, and even though there's no Bittul, but each wine still retains its identity. Now, if there's no Bittul, how does that help me? Right now, it doesn't help me. But in the event that there's later water being introduced, so the water only has to counteract the usser wine, not the heter wine. I can look at the heter wine as if it's not there. Okay. Zeklok min b'mino b'mashu shlo b'mino b'nosin tam. Rav Shmuel d'amri tavayu. So the statement of Rav Shmuel, now we've heard the statement of Rav Shmuel earlier in the Masechta, and as I mentioned earlier, Rashi adopts the statement of Rav Shmuel as the accepted halacha. Now it happens not to be the accepted halacha, but Rashi's position is that we do. Kol Isurin Shabbatara Bemina Bemashu Shlo Bemina Benosin Tam. Rav and Shmuel say that this is true when it comes to any Isur in the Torah. Any Isur in the Torah where it's Min Bemino, it's Asur. Afilo Bemashu. Only when it's dissimilar, it's Min Besheno Mino, then there will be Bittul, but at the point of Nesinas Tam, when I can no longer taste the Isur. Zakal Isui and Maila Isui, Kol Isurin Shabbatara. Now, according to Rav and Shmuel, Mishnah is wonderful. Why? Because the Mishnah says the word Zakal. The Zaklal of the Mishnah is telling me that this is always true. Not just by Yayin Esach, but it's true by all Yisurim. Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish Damer Tavayu. On the other hand, Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish say, Kol Yisurim Shebetorah, Vein Beminam, Vein Shalom Beminam, Beno Sein Tam. Chutz Mitevo V'Yayin Esach, Beminam B'Mashu V'Shalom Beminam, Beno Sein Tam. So according to Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish, that's not true. The only time that we say that something is also B'Mashu, that's only by Yayin Esach and by Truma. But when it comes to Shar Isurim, it's Beno Sein Tam. V'zakal Lasuye Tevel. When I said Truma, I meant Tevel. Okay, fine. So anyway, when the Mishnah says Zaklal, it's only coming to introduce Tevel as the other thing which is also B'mashu. Tanya Kavasi de Rav Shmuel, Tanya Kavasi de Rav Yochanan, Veish Lakish. Bryce is supporting both of these positions. Tanya Kavasi de Rav Shmuel, Kol Yisurin Shabbatara Bemina Bemashu, Shlo Bemina Beno Sein Tam. Okay? Bryce says it exactly like Rav Shmuel, that this idea of Min Bemino is also Bemashu is for Kol Yisurin Shabbatara. Tanya Kavasi de Rav Yochanan, Veish Lakish, Kol Yisurin Shabbatara Bemim Beminam, Bem Shlo Beminam Beno Sein Tam, Chutz Mitevel, V'yayin Nesech, Beminam Bemashu, Shlo Beminam Beno Sein Tam. So, the Bryce over here says exactly like Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan. Bishlam yayin esach mishum chum davos kochavim. Now, I certainly understand why. When it comes to a mixture of min bimino by yayin esach, I understand why it's also b'mashu, because it's avodah zara. And the chachamim were more machmir when it comes to avodah zara, that there should never be bittul. Ela tevel my taima. So, but when it comes to tevel, why is that? Why should that be? That by tevel, even a trace amount of tevel gets mixed in with other fruit, it's aser. And there's no bittul. Why? So keter kachisura. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why, because when we're talking about tevel's ability to be aser, it's really no different than its ability to be mutter. Meaning, let's explain. So because when it comes to tevel, I have to take out how much of it in order to satisfy my obligation of removing the truma. I only need to take out one kernel. Now, you probably heard a number of times as we've gone through Shas that in order to take off truma, you have to take off a 50th, if you're generous, a 40th, if you're not so generous, a 60th. However, that is the Chachamim's recommended amount given that you should be giving to the Kohen. Somewhere around 2%. However, in order to satisfy the obligation of removing the Isser Tevel, all you need to do is take out one kernel, one grain, and Chita Achas Poteres HaSakri. So you see that if all you need to do is take out one grain in order to rectify it, so that means to say that on the other side, when the Tevel gets mixed in as Tevel, so then even as a trace amount, it's going to be Asr B'mashu. Tayina Me'achi, the Gemara quotes this, Bame Amru Tevel Asr B'chol Shehu, B'mino Shalom B'mino B'no Sein Tam. When it gets mixed up B'mino, it's Asr B'mashu. When it gets up Shalom B'mino, so then it's only going to be Asr at the point of Nesinas Tam. Atkan.